93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Pompey failed to switch on at the Stadium of Light.
Burgess is surrounded by McGeady. A great chance, and Maguire is going to tap home at the far post.
It was hardly an inspiring performance from the Blues at the weekend, but one man certainly proved his weight in gold.
Harness into the back of the net, and Marcus Harness has his first Portsmouth goal.
Tricky winger Marcus Harness shone for the Blues on Weir side, but even his efforts were not enough to see Pompey over the line. Tonight we ask you back home the voices of Pompey fans. Where do you think it all went wrong against Sunderland? Could defensive frailties be the difference between promotion and a fourth season in League One? Is it time for Kenny Jackett to rethink his options at right back, and what needs to change in the short term in order for his side to try and get a result against Coventry City tomorrow evening? Get involved now. Text the word EXPRESS to 81400, followed by your name and message. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at expressfm. We've got you covered between now and seven for all of the passionate and, where applicable, positive Pompey debate. So stay tuned, as it's time once again for the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored as always by Stagecoach across the South Coast. They offer student day rider tickets at just £2.50. Just hop on one of their many buses across the city and beyond to show your student ID and you'll be on your way. You can also pay via contactless too. The Blues travelled once again up to the Stadium of Light on Saturday for the third time in just 4 months as Sunderland played host to Kenny Jackett's side. Pompey went into this one hoping for a first victory within that time, having only defeated Jack Ross's side at Fratton Park in December and on penalties at Wembley in March, but not again since. But what did the gaffer think of it all? Andy Moon went pitch side to question Kenny Jackett, who was not too pleased with how his side performed.
Kenny, I'd imagine that's a bit of a frustrating afternoon for you, stood on the touchline there.
Yeah, it is. Both halves, we were on top and started the game well. Had good control, got the first goal. Similarly then conceded from a corner outswinger, and then a one-touch finish from Willis, which is frustrating. First goal in games, first goal against us there. Was frustrating today, brought the crowd into play. And from a set piece as well, where, you know, they are so key and so vital. And to actually score a direct outswinger is quite difficult and it's poor from our point of view. Second goal looked a quality goal after, you know, picking up a second ball and simple tapping from Maguire. And they have that type of quality in flashes that they've showed with McGeady, Maguire, McNulty. You know, you could see that today. Similarly, I think there were their only two shots in probably the whole game. They've made them pay. We've had the majority of it in both the first half and the second, changed some personnel slightly, second drove on till the end. Three big chances anyway in the second period were John Marquis sort of inside right position, and Gareth Evans after a really good cross from the right hand side, and Ledbetter's header, which, you know, the keeper's made a good save to prevent an own goal. They're the three big clear-cut chances. I don't think they had any in a second half where it was tough for them to get out of their half. Similarly, they did the job. They had the lead. They defended it. And when their keeper was needed, he was there. From our point of view, we put too many balls into his hands, too many balls, particularly right to left set pieces, where we cleared everything and didn't give our our men attacking the ball enough of a chance. And also, you know, we talked a lot about the keeper being very, very confident of coming and taking them, and maybe that inhibited us slightly. And you know, we've got to get a head down, put it in with more pace. So a lot to work with, I think, but as well, plenty to work on.
You always talk about noughts and ones. I guess going forward, you won't want to concede goals in the way you did in that first half.
Of course, no. And as I said, if they have two shots, they do score two goals from our point of view. While there's a lot that we can base today's performance on, going forward, we have lost the game and we have to recognise the facts why. And as you say, you know, they're looking at the two goals there. They were glimpses of quality that they showed that have won them the game.
You, in the second half, you put Ross McCrory on at right back for Anton Walkes. Is Ross someone you look at as an option in that position?
I think he is now. After that, I think he did very well and gave us, you know, that second half some thrust down the right hand side that we were maybe lacking during the early part of the game. And you know, he's come as a midfield player, but he's had a good pre-season anyway with us. And since taking him on loan, got sent off at Shrewsbury, which is obviously his debut. And you know, now he's clear, got on the pitch today. And made a good impression, which I'm pleased with.
Marcus Harness getting a first goal and a bright performance around from him.
Yeah, very, very bright. Have to keep getting in the ball as much as we can, and if we can then get, you know, the right amount of runners past him and be able to combine, we do feel that he could have a good season for us.
Just finally, 3.3 games in. How do you sort of appraise this start?
Yeah, we're not happy with two defeats away. Unusual games because we've been on top for both of them. There was many games last season where it was the other way, where, you know, we had 30-40% of the game but managed to win it, and you know, it was a little bit of a reverse. So if you come away to Sunderland and have that much of the game, you can't be a bad team. And you can't have bad players, so I think there's a lot to base it on. But similarly, you know, we're disappointed with the two defeats away from home, because, you know, we've had the lion's share of the ball, we've had the lion's share of the game today, and as I said, you know, both halves, but second half there when we're on top, it was difficult for them to get out. And you know, from looking at shots, really, you know, we've had the clear-cut chances, but they've been clinical, that's made the difference, and that's got them the win.
The verdict there of Kenny Jackett following the dismal display at Sunderland over the weekend. Let's bring in my two guests for this evening's show now then. First of all, I'd like to introduce for the first time this season Express FM's very own Over the White Line host Henry Deacon. Headers, welcome back. It's great to see you.
Yeah, no, great to see you again, Jake. Shame it weren't in better circumstances than this.
Well, it never is in good circumstances, let's be honest. When it's you involved with Pompey, it's always... Not good showing, is it?
I'm like the Grim Reaper of the South Coast.
But then
unfortunately, I'm there tomorrow as well, Jake, just to make it even better for you.
Well, in terms of predictions, then, I think we've got one. And that's a 2-0 loss tomorrow, then, because Henry Deacon will be out for games. So not good news for Pompey. But no, welcome back to the show. We will be speaking to you a little bit later on in regards to the non-league scene, and I suppose in a minute about Pompey as well. And alongside him this evening, Ivan Profero, who you may remember from joining me just here 10 days ago. Ivan, good evening.
Hello, mate. Nice to see you.
And you too. Ivan, we've just heard the assessment given by the boss, Kenny Jackett, following Saturday's defeat. Are you happy with how he's reacted to it and what he's had to say?
It's an odd one, isn't it? Because he's taken some positives out of somewhere you sort of think, how can you? Yeah, it's another frustrating performance. It's one of those, you sort of, all right, again, we had a lot of the ball, and, you know, but we had one shot on target.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one to judge. All right, one shot on target was our goal, but we should be doing more.
Yeah.
A lot more. I mean, the crosses to start with were... Yeah. Horrendous. So,
two shots on target, if you include, I think, as you mentioned off air, the deflected kind of shot that was a diving header from who was it again?
Lidbetter.
There you go, we were talking about it a minute ago. But yeah, in the second half, that nearly equalised for Pompey. Henry, it's another defeat. We are just three games into the new league season, but these aren't encouraging signs, really, for what may still be to come.
First things first, three games into the season, there's absolutely no need whatsoever to press the panic buttons, which you look around social media, people naturally do. I mean, I was saying to you just whilst we were listening to Kenny, I think the one thing that can be told out of the first few games is that I think probably the side is top heavy, got some great attacking options, but for me, strikers win your games, defence wins your championships.
Yep.
And if Pompey want to be challenging up there again, because let's be honest, the league's much tougher this year. You've got Sunderland, you want to throw out of it, get out of it straight away. You've got Ipswich that have just come down. You've got a lot of decent sides in around there. Doncaster, Peterborough, always strong. So if you want to be meddling with those teams, you need a strong defensive base.
There is still a long way to go, as Henry's just mentioned, Ivan. 43 games remain, although perhaps only 41 if the worst will happen to Bury. There really is not a lot of panic about at this stage, is there? Despite how upset and frustrated we may be at the moment.
No. Like, we've got to stick with it. It's frustrating at the moment, but you kind of think, if we iron these problems out earlier, then hopefully we get to about Christmas when the busy schedule comes in and, you know, hopefully we start hitting form when it matters, really.
Yeah. Look, it's a marathon and not a sprint, Henry. Pompey are currently 14th with just 3 points on the board. But if you think back to 2 years ago at this stage of the League Two season, mm-hmm. Pompey had just 2 points to their name after a 1-1 draw at home to Carlisle, a 0-0 at Crewe the following week and a midweek loss at Morecambe. Paul Cook's side went on to win the league title. In 2009, Norwich City lost 7-1 at home on the opening day to Colchester before drawing at Exeter and losing 2-1 at Brentford. Sorry, they went on to win the League One title with 95 points on the board, 9 more than Leeds in second. And just last year, Luton Town opened their campaign with 2 away defeats at Pompey and Peterborough with a 1-1 home draw against Sunderland in between. My point being that the start of the season, as you've already mentioned, means absolutely nothing. So long as you follow up a poor opening month with a positive rest of the campaign. It's not how you start the season, but how you end it.
No, definitely. And I think the other thing is that you get a lot of games in the opening months of the season. They try to get it out of the way. Obviously, you know, okay, the League Cup kicks in and things like that. So there's a lot of football in a short space of time. So a lot can happen. We're 3 games into a season, and as you say, the results for me don't really matter until you get to start September. Then you start to look at it. But if you're being honest and you look at the table, it don't really take shape until about probably November, December. I mean, I remember obviously being, I haven't been involved in 2 promotions, and in that second one we were 5th at Christmas and we kicked on in January, February time. If you're in amongst that mix around Christmas, you've got a great opportunity.
Yeah, those there the thoughts of Henry Deacon and Ivan Prefero. But shortly we will be hearing from you back home too, the Pompey fans. Are you remaining confident that Pompey will achieve their goal of promotion come May, or do you think there need to be changes in order to reach that? Has John Marquis done enough in recent games to warrant a start against Coventry tomorrow, or does Ellis Harrison deserve to be recalled back into the starting 11? And who has the answer to the problems in defence? Could Sean Raggett be thrown back into the frame? And who starts at right back? Maybe Anton Walkes retains his place, or perhaps you believe either one of James Bolton, Ross McCrory, or even Gareth Evans could prove more useful. Get in contact now. Start your text with the word Express, followed by your name and message. Send those to 81400. You can email pompey@expressfm.com or find us on Twitter @ExpressFM. Throw in a score prediction for tomorrow evening's visit of Coventry while you're at it too. So stay tuned and keep it Express FM as the Football Hour continues very shortly.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the Monday Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored by Stagecoach Buses, who offer adult day rider tickets at a discounted price of £4.10 if you buy via the Stagecoach Bus app on the Apple app or Google Play Store. Okay, let's go over the game in full then, starting with the first 20 minutes, where I thought, Ivan, Pompey dominated, which is something we've been asking for quite a while. Often we sit here, we talk about slow starts costing us in the end, but actually, we actually had a pretty decent opening 20 at the Stadium of Light.
Yes, we went straight for it. It was actually really encouraging. I was sat there thinking, this is really good football. All right, we know how it played out later in the game, but yeah, I mean, a lot of it, I mean, you look at our goals, they were the ones that came through the middle on the ground.
Yeah.
All right, then later we sort of hoof it and go for crossing, but initially, I think it shows when the goals we scored all came through on the ground, through balls. It was really good, encouraging football.
Speaking of the goals we scored, let's start off by revisiting Marcus Harness's first Blues goal.
Oh, ball falls for Harness. Harness could be in on goal, driving to the penalty area. Defence gets back. Marquis can't get the shot away. Still there in the area. Harness into the back of the net. And Marcus Harness has his first Portsmouth goal.
Now, assuming that we're just talking about the first 20 minutes here, Henry, not the rest of the game, a decent goal, albeit a bit lucky with a deflection off a defender, but it's good to see when you've got players like Marcus Harness, John Marquis, Ben Close in behind them, playing well together to get forward and, like you say, create a goal-scoring opportunity like that.
Yeah, you say it's lucky, but you've got to be there to take the chances when you come, haven't you, at the end of the day? And, you know, you've got an attacking line that will get in the good positions. They do get in good positions and they're willing to finish the ball. I mean, we said earlier on in the first part of the show, attacking wise, it's very strong. And Ben Close, who come off the back of a brilliant end to last season, you can tell with a player when they're full of confidence because they play with a bit of freedom. You can just tell Ben Close is playing with it. He's feeding off everything that's came his way the last few months. And like I say, if you can get goals scored at that end, we'll be okay. And then obviously we sort out what we spoke about early on at the back.
Marcus Harness, the goal scorer of that goal, Ivan, he's become a player, I think, has been electric for Pompey down the wing. Not an unsung hero, it is only three games into the league season, of course, but a player who I don't think receives as much special mentions as he should.
No, I mean, what an impression he's already made. Yeah. I think what was quite notable in the game, he and Marcus, to start off with, looked like they were getting some real sort of partnership going, which is, I mean, that's encouraging in itself. You don't want to rely on one person too much, especially up top. Yeah, I mean, he's been sensational so far.
Stephen Jerome on the emails. Thank you for emailing in, Stephen. Hi, guys. It was not the result we wanted on Saturday, but we have to put that behind us now and go again tomorrow against Coventry. I thought we started the game well enough and had a lot of a possession early on, and Harness took his goal well to take the lead, but it was very poor defending for both Sunderland goals. In my opinion, a lot of set pieces, both defensively and offensively, was poor. We didn't defend their corner well and allowed their players to get a header in for the equaliser, and our corners in were awful and just went straight out and behind. I think our set pieces has to be worked on and needs to improve, but we have to put Saturday behind us now and move on tomorrow night against Coventry, and hopefully we can get a more positive result under the lights at Fratton Park. Just to finish, I want to give the Pompey women a mention. I was at the game yesterday, and though we didn't get the result we wanted after conceding two first half goals, I was impressed with a second half performance. They battled hard to try and get back into it, and I can't fault their efforts. Let's hope for a better result in the cup on Sunday. Play at Pompey, Stephen Selsey. Thank you again, Steve, mentioning the Pompey women there. Of course, we'll be going over that later on in the show. But he mentions the defensive frailties at the back in regards to these two Sunderland goals. Let's revisit those now.
The edge of the 6-yard box, a header is into the back of the net, and Sunderland have equalised from a set piece. Flying in, it's Jordan Willis who scores his first goal for Sunderland, a whip corner in towards the near post.
Just to confirm as well, I know a lot of people on social media were quite angry with that goal. Not the defending, but the decision that led to the corner, Ivan. A lot of people saying that it didn't actually go out for a corner. What was your take on that?
It's one of those, isn't it? You can see it from both points of view. I mean, we're naturally biased, so you want to go the other way. But I mean, I see it both ways, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, I sat there in the press box. I had a pretty decent view of it, and I know a lot of people are watching the telly saying that they didn't show the best angle of it. And from where I was sat, it looked like it went out for a corner. So I'm not going to be.
Yeah, and it's one of those. It's hard for the ref as well, and the linesman, you do get the odd one wrong.
Yeah, of course. But even so, regardless of the decision being wrong or whatever, Henry, it's not a decision which actually definitely gave Sunderland a goal. It wasn't like a penalty decision. It wasn't a free kick decision where they've, straight away scored from it. Okay, they scored from the corner as a header, but you have to be better defensively. Regardless of the decision.
You've got to be switched on at all times. You switch off for a second, especially against a Sunderland team. And Jack Ross, credit to him, every single time I've seen one of his sides play, he sets them up. They know their jobs and they know what they're doing. So if you switch off against them defensively, then you're going to be in trouble. And that's the thing. You can't switch off in games. You can't pick and choose. You've got to concentrate and you've got to play for the whole 90 minutes.
On the text, John and Hilsey. Hi guys, I think to get the best out of Marquis, it may be better to play him in a number 10 position behind Harrison or Hawkins. Gives him a freedom to find space in the box. I don't think it suits him as a lone main striker up front, John in Hilsey. So a defensive perhaps error at the back for Pompey for Sunderland's equaliser, but then not long after they took the lead.
All Sunderland breaking into the penalty area. Burgess is surrounded by McGeady. A great chance, and Maguire is going to tap home at the far post. And Porton have been undone at the back by another really sloppy goal. And
Ivan, I'm going to ask you one of the hardest questions ever. Who was marking Chris Maguire?
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, it's a frustrating one, isn't it? I mean, hindsight's a great thing. There was clearly just a lot of confusion. I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether it was zonal marking. I mean, clearly it wasn't man-to-man. If it was man-to-man, it was
poor.
It was very poor, to say the least. I think it's one of those we really, at the moment, we're looking like we really, really miss Clark.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I mean, we've got to recover from that, but it's going to take time, I think.
Do you perhaps think we also miss Nathan Thompson?
Yeah, I think that's actually showing more than I think people might have thought it would. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think everybody expected Clark going was going to be a big miss, but I think the Thompson hole that's come up has become huge now, to be perfectly honest.
I ran a poll on Twitter earlier in the day, lads, saying, I want to know who you would like to see start at right back tomorrow evening for the visit of Coventry City to Fratton Park. The voting, of course, for that right back position, I included Anton Walkes, James Bolton, Ross McCrory and Gareth Evans. 675 of you voted, and there is one clear winner, and we'll be announcing that towards the end of the show when we preview tomorrow's game. Ivan says they're about set pieces, Henry, and it's something you mentioned already, you've got to switch on for when you're defending them, but when you're actually taking them, the deliveries have to be better as well.
Yeah, you've got to challenge defence, mix it up a little bit, some near post, some back post, and some played short. Variety is going to be a big thing, I think, this season, because you don't want to take the... If you have three corners, you're taking all three corners the same, they're going to suss you out. They're going to suss out how you're playing your corners and all that. Play one on the near post, play one on the back post, and then play and just play a different kind of variety of delivery.
A tweet from Sarah Powers, a regular listener to Pompey Live and the Football Hour. Thank you, Sarah. She says, Bolton needs a match on the bench so he can have an introduction for a few minutes in the second half, not going to be fit enough for 90 minutes. That's what Sarah thinks. Ivan, was it strange for you to see Bolton not even on the bench on Saturday, considering we were told last week perhaps that he was back from injury?
It was a bit. I mean, I think he is outright the new replacement to be our main centre-back, and considering if he was fit, it was odd that he wasn't there to at least be a backup option where it did go wrong. You would have loved to put him on and sort of stabilise that defence. It was an odd one, I've got to admit.
Don't forget, if you haven't got involved already, 81400 is the number to text. If you haven't done so, start those with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at expressfm if you are social media savvy. Ivan, can you see this group of players picking themselves up and using perhaps a disappointing start to the season to their advantage, perhaps as weaponry to spur them on to become a better side in the months to come?
I really do. That's not just wishful thinking either. I think there must be. You look in that squad and there's so much talent everywhere. I mean, I think the difference between us this season compared to last season, there is some genuine depth. Yeah. And I think there's ways we can actually switch it up if it doesn't go right in terms of formations or tactics. Or, you know, there's a lot more we can play with, I feel.
Yeah. Are you still confident, Henry, that Kenny Jackett has got the squad capable of finishing in the top two this season? There's a lot of people saying on social media, as you can expect, after a loss, the same old thing.
Relegation.
We're going down. We're not going up. We've lost a game to, let's say, you know, Sunderland, who are one of the best teams in the league.
Sack the board, demolish the club.
Yeah, it all comes out. But have you still got faith that we've got a really good squad capable of getting automatic promotion
compared to last year? And I agree with Ivan's point. It's a better squad in depth. Yes, of course, we've lost our two best players last season, Jamal Lowe and Matt Clark, and that's going to have an obvious dent. But if you look at it from one to your bench of 18, then I think it's a stronger squad. What I think does go against us is the fact that the league as a whole, I think, is strengthened over the summer. I'm not saying it's off the realms of the possibility, but I think this year it's going to be much tougher for the teams to break into the top two, for us to break into the top two.
Yeah. Henry mentions there, Ivan, Jamal Lowe, a player we've lost in the summer, one of our prized assets of a club. Quite controversial, what I'm going to say now, but I thought he actually had a bit of a quiet second half to the season last season. Bar that amazing goal at Wembley, I'm not saying he was average or below average, but I don't think he was a standout player as much.
No, and I think there was an over-reliance in the end. You sort of look at his ability and want that too much. And I think that did actually get on his shoulders a bit too much.
Do you think we've reinvested that money we've gotten from Jamal Lowe really well in Marcus Harness, essentially?
I do. I think he looks very versatile. And I think the difference between him and Harness is, I think Harness is more likely, if you want to change his position or drop him slightly deeper or play him on the left or right, I feel like you can more. I feel like don't get me wrong, Lowe was a fantastic player, but he was very good at what he did, and anything else was quite average.
Yeah.
And I think that is an improvement, yeah.
Is this a team, Henry, which do you believe is still gelling, or do you not find that excuse worthy? Because a lot of teams in the summer, they have massive overhauls, especially down in these divisions. You don't really see a lot of players staying for more than two or three seasons.
No, I get the point. I think Saturday's the last time you can use that excuse, because you would have had a six-game pre-season programme, or six, seven pre-season game programme, if you include the 11 fixtures and all of that. You're going 3-4 days a week, so you would know all the tactics and all of that. You need a couple of games to get league games to get rid of the cobwebs and actually play competitive football, because as good as friendlies are, you get no gauge.
No.
I think when you get to this point, you'd think that the squad should be set and everything should be ready to go. I think you get to a point now, and this point in August, where the squad should be ready, they should be gelled, and you should get the best results out of them, so to speak.
It just goes to show how disappointed I think we all were on Saturday, guys, when on Pompey Live Extra Time, this was my response to when Liam asked me to sum up the game.
But sum up that 90 minutes for me.
He's just summed it up. That.
It really was just one of those games where you just sat back and you heard a full-time whistle and you just...
That's the best bit of punditry you've ever done.
Thank you, Henry. Thank you. I'm turning your mic down. it was more of the prospect of a 6.5-hour, 7-hour journey home that I was more worried about. Okay, it's time for a short break now, after which we'll be changing the topic for a short while to speak to Henners about what has been happening on the local scene this weekend. So I hope he's done his homework and what to expect when Over the White Line returns on Wednesday evening. You can still get involved, though. Let us know your score predictions for tomorrow evening's game against Coventry City. And who do you think should be starting in the right back position? Does Anton Walk deserve to keep his place, or should either one of James Bolton, Ross McCrory, or even Gareth Evans come in to replace him? I'm also intrigued to know who you believe should start up front for the Blues. John Marquis, Ellis Harrison, maybe Brett Pittman or Ollie Hawkins. Get your thoughts across to us right now. 81400 is the number to send your text to. Start those with the word Express, followed by your name and message. Email pompey@expressfm.com or tweet us at ExpressFM. So stay right where you are as the Monday Football Hour continues very soon live on the only radio station that remains passionately Pompey, Express FM.
There's nothing more important than a good breakfast to start your day. And on Sunday mornings from 7, I'll be serving up all the finest ingredients. I'll bring you a fantastic mix of great music and chat and keep you up to date with the latest news on travel, weather and sport. There'll be lots of ideas for things to see and do around the local area, as well as a look at what's making the headlines in the Sunday papers. For the best way to keep that weekend feeling going, join me, Howard Hale, for the Sunday Breakfast Show on Express FM. From the heart of the great waterfront city on 93.7 FM, online and on DAB. We are passionately Portsmouth.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour on Express FM, proudly sponsored by our friends over at Stagecoach Buses. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap and reliable fares across the great waterfront city of Portsmouth and beyond. To find out more information, over at stagecoach.co.uk. Right then, let's turn our attention away from the Pompey talk for just a few moments and take a look at how all of our featured local sides fared at the weekend. Henry Deacon, we're going to exploit your expert knowledge now. I'm going to put you to the test after your comment in the previous part of the show. On non-league football here, could you start off, please, by telling the listeners how the Hawks got on this weekend? That's happened to Waterlooville.
It weren't quite 6-0 again. No. We drew 0-0 with Chelmsford. To be honest, I think it was probably a fair result. Okay, we missed a penalty early on, but I just felt, okay, the stats would say that we dominated the game, but I felt watching it live that a point was an even result and the game was always heading to a stalemate. I say we've had a very tough start to the season. We've got given Welling, Chelmsford, Dorking, a lot of people making a big fuss of, but we demolished quite well. We've had a tough start to the season, so if we can get out of this month, you know, around that top seven, then we've done well and we give ourselves an opportunity to properly kick on again.
That is how Havant and Waterlooville got on this weekend. Are they playing midweek, Henry?
I've got a week off, so I'm coming over to Fratton Park to come and...
Oh,
really,
yeah, you've already mentioned that.
Come and annoy you, Jake.
Oh, please don't tell me you're going to be sat in that press box. Please don't.
You're lucky I'm in the north stand, but...
Oh, God. Bring the earplugs. Okay,
you
Henry.
Still hear me from there as well.
Yeah, I know you will. Okay, can you fire away with some other results of interest as well?
So, Gosport lost 1-0 to Merthyr. Lee Molyneux, the manager there, ex-player, led them to the trophy final. A lot of people remember back in 2014. Got a lot of the ex-haven't squad from last year there, a few hours from elsewhere. Elsewhere locally, it's not been a good weekend, if I'm being honest. Portchester lost 4-1 away at Alsford, which led Chairman Paul Kelly to address it on the club's website. Fair, and they've had a brilliant start to the season considering the troubles they had last time. They beat Fleet Town 4-2. Fleet Town, a very good team, just come down from the Southern League. Corton Dean drew 2-2 at Portland, which probably isn't a bad result, but you look, it's okay early days still, but you're seeing a lot of the Wessex Prem teams around third or fourth in that league table.
Thank you, Henry. That is how your local sides got on this weekend. Not a great week for football in the area, but
no.
Hopefully a better one this weekend. Although Pompey aren't playing, so it's not going to be a good one anyway, is it?
Well, you can haven't got Tonbridge Angels, who are rock bottom of the league. So, fingers crossed, we can do something there. So it could be a good weekend, Jake. It could be a good weekend.
Hopefully, all of that and more, and all to come on Over the White Line on Wednesday evening from
6 o'clock.
That's a change time from last season.
Yes, so back at the proper prime time slot.
I agree with that. Okay, a score from yesterday's action in the first round of matches in the Women's National League. Jay Sadler's Pompey were unfortunately again, well not again, but in terms of this weekend, defeated 2-0 by Watford at the PMC Stadium. Perhaps not quite the start the girls were hoping for. Nonetheless, we all know that there is a long way to go. And as Ian Chiverton told us on Friday evening, the women have a solid ball-playing squad who proved that with a 5-1 friendly victory over Crystal Palace the previous weekend. So there is still a lot to look forward to this coming season. And speaking of Chiv, actually, I saw a tweet of his earlier this afternoon saying that the attendance of the Pompey women's game on Sunday was over double of that of any other game in the division, according to the official FA website. What great supporters we have down here on the South Coast, I'm sure. I speak for everyone involved, most particularly our good friend Eric Colborne, in thanking those who have been supporting them recently. Okay, I've actually got a bit of a story from Saturday, gents. Quite a bit of a feel-good one, really. One of my mates... I'm not
going to feel-good story from Saturday.
It's a feel-good story. Well, it's not.
Wow.
It doesn't end up as a feel-good story.
Goodness me.
We all know the scoreline, but in terms of prior to the game, basically, it's one of my friends who I used to travel up and down the country with before, you know, my ExpressFM duties. I'm not going to mention his name, but here's the message he sent me and what he's told everyone. His original train time was 14 minutes past 5 Saturday morning. Now, that alone is just horrible to think of. So he set his alarm for 4 o'clock every 5 minutes on full blast for about half an hour. He slept through all of them and woke up just before 7 o'clock. He saw a flood of messages and missed calls from all of his mates asking where he was, and he was gutted. But his granddad offered him a lift to King's Cross. He left Portchester at 7:30, aiming for the 9 o'clock train from King's Cross. That's in London, by the way. Mm-hmm. The next train being the 9:30 that would have gotten into Sunderland at half-time, so we didn't want that one. He got on the road going to King's Cross, and because of the traffic, he got out and legged it. Got to the platform where the only door open was the first door for staff only, and luckily the guard let him on. He wouldn't let him on because he said he was going to Sunderland and he said he doesn't stop there. He had to explain that no, he's, you know, changing at Newcastle, and he let him on. He got there at 11:50 and got a taxi straight away to the Stadium of Light and got in the ground as the teams were coming out and had, well, he says he had better limbs with my mates who didn't even know I was on my way and accepted I was going, he's going to miss it. So basically, long story short, he's made the game having woke up at 7 o'clock. Absolutely, well, he's beaten the train to London. Mm-hmm. And got on it and made the game just minutes before kickoff.
Weren't worth it, though.
It wasn't worth it. It
that's wasn't what you're taking it, from this, yeah.
Thank you, Henry.
Oh, so, that's a wonderful effort, but yeah.
It is superb.
I just thought it was a real good story to mention, because that is an incredible effort, and there's pictures of it circulating, you know, within our group chats on Twitter and everything. Just the faces of all of our mates when he, you know, comes up the stairs and the stewards are looking at him, you know, why is everyone celebrating this guy arriving at the ground? he didn't tell anyone that he was on his way. He left it up until the minute before kickoff.
Probably didn't have time.
That is a brilliant.
So a brilliant effort to you. I'm not going to mention your name, but you know who you are. Fantastic. A tweet in from Ryan Lewis, who let's face it, loves to stir up the pot. He says he hasn't listened from the start, so I may have mentioned it already. Well, I haven't. But he says, why is Curtis not being dropped? He's been well below par for a few months now, and if it was anyone else, they would be dropped already. Ivan, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I actually tend to agree, to be perfectly honest. It's not nice to say it, but yeah, he's been quite average so far. I mean, like we said, it's early days. I think what we've got to remember is it's still August.
Yeah.
And you know, the team's gelling in different ways. There are a lot of new people coming to the team. I think partly one of the reasons might be just the fact he's been there a while now. He might be one of the pillars of it. But I tend to agree with that. I think why not give it a little bit of a switch around?
That's all we've got time for part three. But after the break, we'll be continuing to turn our attention back to the Pompey's men's first team as preview of tomorrow's game under the lights is in order. Who do you like to see start as right back? Should Kenny Jackett keep his faith in John Marquis or bring Ellis Harrison back into the frame? Maybe they could both start up top together. The number to text is 81400. Start in your messages with the word express. It's Pompey at expressfm.com if you'd prefer to email, or at expressfm if you're a Twitter fan. When we return, we'll be taking a closer look at Coventry City with this week's opposition, so keep it 93.7 as the Monday Football Hour concludes shortly right here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome for the final time tonight for the Monday Football Hour, sponsored this season by Stagecoach Buses across the South Coast. Find out more on what they have to offer by visiting stagecoach.co.uk. Let's now take a closer look at this week's opposition, Coventry City. Take it away, Mason Jordan.
As soon as one game ends, the preparation for another begins. Coventry City are up next. They visit Fratton Park for the first midweek round of league fixtures of this new campaign, as Pompey go in search for a second league victory.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
One of these clubs is homeless, whilst also going through a huge court battle off of the pitch. The other has just received an excess of £6 million for their two prize assets, reinvesting it back into the squad, whilst also being comfortably backed by a wealthy owner and manager, with two promotions from this division on his CV. But it's not the latter who sit in fourth place in the standings. While still unbeaten too, the Sky Blues will certainly prove a difficult challenge for Kenny Jackett's side this week.
Manager.
49-year-old fan favourite Mark Robbins is the Coventry boss. Robbins, who has the honour of playing for big boys Manchester United between 1988 and 1992, has been at the helm of the club since March 2017. He couldn't save his side, who he also managed for a spell during the 2012-13 season, from relegation into the bottom tier. However, did guide them to an EFL trophy victory just weeks after his second welcome. 125 games on from his appointment in 2017, the gaffer has won promotion back to League One at the first time of asking via the playoffs, comfortably led the Sky Blues to survival and the ninth place finish during his second full season, and has also started very well this season, all in all earning a win percentage of 44%.
One to watch.
New signing Matty Godden will be one the Pompey defence will attempt to keep quiet for the midweek visit of the Sky Blues. Godden, now 28, signed for the club less than 2 weeks ago from Peterborough United. That was for an undisclosed fee, thought to be well above the £1 million mark. The prolific talisman replaces recently departed Connor Chaplin, who set sail for Championship outfit Barnsley earlier this summer and was allegedly on Kenny Jackett's radar, but failed to agree terms with the Blues over an apparent wage demand way beyond anyone else's expectations at PO4.
Top scorer.
Coventry have only scored 3 goals in the opening 3 games, and that's not in any way hinting towards a poor start, but instead a surprise to many, considering they sit 4th in the table with such a small amount of goals scored. The goals that they have scored, however, have come from 3 different players. Javan Castanier, Jordan Shipley and Zane Westbrook have all chipped in their contributions. The start made by Mark Robinson's side says more about their impressive defensive displays than it does their attacking options.
Current form.
It's been a very good start to the new campaign for the side, who have been forced to play their home matches at Birmingham City St Andrews Stadium. Unbeaten in League One after 3 matches, 4th in the table having not conceded a single goal, and through to the second round of the Carabao Cup. That's after a 4-1 thrashing of Exeter City in the first round. Not quite the sort of side Pompey would be wishing to face at this stage of the season, especially off the back of a second league defeat in only 3 matches. But will tomorrow be the day that Coventry concede a goal for the first time this season? We'll find out tomorrow on Pompey Live from 7 p.m.
Mason Jordan there with a more in-depth look at this week's opposition, Coventry City. OK, time to get the poll results in, lads. Earlier on in the show, I asked you back home, the Pompey fans, who you want to start tomorrow's game against Coventry in the position of right back. The options were Anton Walkes, James Bolton, Ross McCrory and Gareth Evans. And of course, if you wanted anyone else to start, you could put that in the comments. But let's face it, there aren't any other players who can play right back in Pompey squad. OK, the results are in. 675 votes, and with 6% of the votes finishing dead last, Anton Walkes. So a lot of Pompey fans not wanting him back in the squad or seemingly on the bench. 17% have gone for Gareth Evans, with 33% James Bolton, and the outstanding winner with 44% Ross McCrory. Ivan, you are nodding your head with the winner there, Ross McCrory. And to be fair, I can't disagree with you. He had a pretty decent shift when he came on Saturday against Sunderland and played in that position.
Yeah, and what a time and what a place to demonstrate that he can play in that position so well. I mean, away to Sunderland, I mean, you're going to struggle to get any, you know, many more difficult teams to play against in that condition as well. I mean, I think he's put a real argument to put him in that team tomorrow.
JC on Twitter has said would put Bolton right back if we could play McCrory in midfield. Just want to see him start in the starting 11 tomorrow night. Not normally too negative about Pompey players, but right back needs addressing immediately. Terry Smith says try Bolton at the back with McCrory in front of him and rest Harness for a game and see what happens. We so need someone that can cross a ball. McCrory did a great job when he came on Saturday, to which Stephen Rose has replied to him saying Harness was our best player Saturday. He cannot be rested and we don't have a game this coming Saturday. Henry, it'd be quite an odd decision to see Marcus Harness rested tomorrow night.
It would, but also, I mean, we spoke about earlier on, there's a lot of football that is played, and if we're looking at squad depth and we're talking about a squad that's better in quality all the way down, then perhaps, but then on the same token, we're playing Coventry, for me, is a side I really fancy this year. Mark Robbins, in the circumstances, by the way, that they're in, they've not got ground, they're struggling a little bit. The fact that he's got such a good squad together, it talks credit, a lot of credit to him. Not conceded, very well organised. We're going to have to be at our best to get a result tomorrow.
I saw a post on the Pompey fans' Facebook page earlier this afternoon. I'm not going to mention the name who's put the post, but I don't know if this is a joke, I don't know if this is true, but I'm just going to read it out anyway. I've just played a game of FIFA and tested to see whether Anton Walkes would be a good striker. He played very well and scored 2 goals against Sunderland. I think we should use him up front in the future. Ivan, Anton Walkes up front.
Well,
why not?
I mean, if it's already been tested on FIFA, it's a shoo-in.
Exactly.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it's got to happen.
In fairness, I've made myself a 99 star on FIFA once, so don't trust everything that FIFA says.
Yeah, true. Good point. Pompey Focus on Twitter says, need a 4-3-3 with Craig McGilvery, Brown, Raggett, Downing, Bolton, McCrory, Close, Naylor, Harness, Marquis and Harrison. Ivan, quite a strong team that, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Although, also a very bold move, dropping Christian Burgess.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I still wouldn't at all. I think with Clark going as well, I think we more than not only obviously his massive ability, but it's the physicality. I think that is what Burgess does at least contribute. I think you need somebody at least who can hold the ball up or get on the end of a header. That's a good team.
He reminds me a lot of Vincent Kompany. Christian Burgess, and the fact that he organises a defence, he marshals quite well, and as you say, he's got all the physical attributes. He's the commander of the defence, and at this moment in time, when there are a few question marks about it, he's the sort of character you need there to try and get yourself out of that hole.
A question from Jack Hancock on Twitter. I'm going to give this to you, Ivan. Our main weakness is clearly our defence, and if you could realistically upgrade one slot of a backline for a new signing, who would it be and where?
So I'm going to sound so hushed in whatever I do. It's difficult to judge because I don't think we've seen enough, personally, of Bolton yet at all. And that, I feel, is the main replacement that we've got in the back. I think, as well, the defence, that's, if anything, changing in the back line, it's going to take a while to get through that. That's why we're having problems at the moment, because it's you need to really understand. I think that's the most crucial area. Defence, you need to know who's around you. You need to know who you can play off, who's going to make the runs. I do worry about left back. In all honesty, I feel like if that's out of the back four, that's where I look at, and I do have concerns.
Would you not give Brandon Hounstrup a run in the first team?
Quite possibly, yeah. I mean, he's been there for a while now, hasn't he? I mean, why not?
Kind of been on the edge, hasn't he? Could be another Ben Close, you know, through the Pompey Academy. Louis O'Donnell on Twitter: Ross McCrory to start at the back in place of Anton Walk, says he has not been up to match standards for us, as Ross made an impressive start when he came on Saturday. 2-0 Pompey tomorrow. Marquess and Harness with the goals. Graham Wilkins on the email: Hi lads, not a good result against the Sunderland team who didn't really impress me either. Two goals given away by bad defending, but apart from that, we weren't bothered by them. Also, Marquess would normally bury the sort of chance he wasted when put through. It's early days, and I'm not worried about how we started, as I believe the Blues are good enough to go up. With sharper finishing and better crossing, which was pretty awful, I have to say, I believe we could have gone on to win the game. Still, as I've said before, it's not how you start the season, it's how you finish it, and I think we'll go up automatically despite the start. Another email there, all flooding in this evening, try and read them all out. Alan Swift, going for Marquess up front with Harrison tucked in behind. Ross McCrory at right back with Raggett at centre back. Is Raggett left or right handed? I don't know. I simply don't know. Burgess is a fish out of water. Loses concentration at his level, according to Alan Swift. He says, but Kenny Jackett needs to go into the market big time or we'll not be promoted. Another bold statement from Alan there. And a final email, Chris in Italy. Hello, Chris, and thank you for tuning in as usual. No idea what the result would be, as Coventry are always playing away, have started well. Walks off, McCrory in. When he came on against the Macombs, we seemed to have a chance. Respect to Jack Ross after the last three games. He clearly got Pompey sussed big time. Hope other managers don't work it out. And he makes a good point there, Ivan, really quickly, that Sunderland, with a poor start to the season, 2-1-all draws in a row, they just had to win the game and they just seemed perhaps more hungry for it.
I'm just sick of playing Sunderland now.
So am I. We'll be pleased to know we have no more scheduled trips there. Ever. Really. Yes, until next season, hopefully.
First round FA Cup.
First round FA Cup, or even a fourth round Carabao Cup Tuesday night. I'm jinxing it.
This will be your
fault. It's happening. It's my fault. Okay, we've got a few more coming in. There was a shout from Jamie Fox to play Haji Monoga at right back for Pompey, or perhaps at centre back. He doesn't actually specify that. In terms of tomorrow, lads, the last two games against Coventry City have actually worked out in Pompey's favour. Last season, away from home, beating them 1-0 on that Tuesday night, I don't know if you remember that one, and then in April, beating them 2-1 on Easter Monday. So, going into the game tomorrow, Henry, I'm going to ask you for a quick score prediction.
Well, usually we don't do well when I'm at Fratton Park.
No, we don't.
But it's the first time for everyone, Jimmy White showed that yesterday at the Crucible, finally winning there, so... you know what? I expect goals. I'm going to go for 4-3 Pompey here.
4-3 Pompey. Ivan, what are you going for?
I don't think it'll be that exciting. I hope it will be. I think 2-1. 2-1? I think we could win 2-1, yeah. I think... The thing is, Henry's made a great point. They're a team that have got some serious talent in there. I think the manager's fantastic as well.
Lads,
what a boost it would be.
Thanks for joining me. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win. Nervy. But getting over the nine nonetheless. There we are then. We reach the end of another episode of The Football Hour on Express FM. My thanks this evening go to both Henry Deacon and Ivan Profero for joining me in the studio for the show. And of course, you lot back home for listening and getting involved on the socials too. Believe me, the show would be very difficult to do without your interaction. On the way tonight on 93.7 Express FM, Mason Jordan sits in for Liz Beckett as The Shout returns right after the news at 7 before non-stop music sees you through the rest of the evening. And then Mason will be back first thing tomorrow morning. 6 a.m. is when he returns for the Portsmouth Breakfast Show. He'll be waking you up with just great songs, the latest on the roads and the Express Rewind from 9 o'clock. All this week, Mason is also giving you the chance to win weekend tickets for Victorious Festival. Head to expressfm.com/win to enter. There's no question, so anyone can be a winner, but there is a catch. If he does phone you up in the morning or on any morning during this week, he'll give you the option to stick with the two tickets to Victorious Festival or risk it, double or quits basically, for VIP tickets. If you don't win or if you don't answer that question correctly, you will get nothing. So join him from 6 tomorrow. Pompey Live is back on your radio tomorrow evening. Join myself, Liam Howells, for all of the build-up on Pompey versus Coventry. Coventry from 7.45. But until then, have a good evening. Enjoy the shout. What was left for me to say, stay chirpy and a massive play up Pompey.